This is the Voice of America broadcasting from Washington. It is now 19 hours Greenwich Mean Time. In 10 minutes, we will begin our live coverage of the splashdown of Apollo 16. First, here is the news. The Apollo 16 spacecraft is heading for splashdown in the Pacific Ocean in a short time from now. It will be exactly 19 hours 44 Greenwich Mean Time. The astronauts have made a successful mid-course correction that will bring them on target for the splashdown. The three astronauts, John Young, Charles Duke, and Thomas Mattingly, will land about 180 miles southeast of Christmas Island. The aircraft carrier Ticonderoga is there to retrieve them, and the weather in the area is said to be excellent. The astronauts are bringing to Earth about 100 kilograms of lunar rock and soil samples, gathered during their three explorations of the Descartes Highlands and the Kaley Plains region of the moon.
This is the Voice of America's live coverage of the flight of Apollo 16. Today, the landing and recovery of the spacecraft Casper and its crew. Splashdown in the Pacific Ocean is scheduled for 19 hours 44 GMT, about 34 minutes from now. The prime recovery ship, USS Ticonderoga, an aircraft carrier, is on station south of Christmas Island to pick up astronauts Young, Duke, and Mattingly as they end their 11-day journey. Now for an early report on downrange landing conditions, here is Les Higby.
Weather conditions are excellent in the recovery area. There are 10-knot winds. The seas are about 3 feet at the carrier, the USS Ticonderoga, the recovery ship. And that's the way it looks in the recovery area.
We'll also be joining the pool reporter aboard the recovery ship for downrange activities. Now, to describe landing preparations, splashdown, and recovery, we take you to VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston.
Well, everything is ready for that beginning of re-entry and return, or entry as it's called, and return to Earth about 28 minutes from now. Here's Apollo Control.
90 hours, 3 minutes ground elapsed time. The onboard display in program 61 indicates a max G of some 7 degrees for Apollo 16. And an entry angle of 6.68 based on the onboard computer.
They're looking good. Coming up on SAP.
And there was Mission Control telling us the angle and how many times the force of gravity that the astronauts are expected to experience as they come barreling into the atmosphere. And here to join us describing this...
90 hours, 4 minutes ground elapsed time. The onboard computer now displays the maneuver to entry attitude program. It is a guidance and navigation program through which Apollo 16 disposes of the service module and rights itself for entry. The spacecraft will yaw 45 degrees out of plane, and the guidance officer here in Mission Control reports that that yaw maneuver has commenced.
And that's John McLeish in Mission Control describing what is to take place, and with us to assist also is a man who's been there, astronaut Al Worden, command module pilot of Apollo 15, the last mission to the moon. Al, does this sound familiar?
I bet it does. It sure does, Rhett. It's sort of like... playing an old movie again for the second time and realizing that in the first one you were part of the cast.
Yeah. Just elaborate just a bit of what we heard from Mission Control on what's happening right now in the spacecraft.
Okay. From what I gather from what's going on right now, they're going to the separation attitude. The spacecraft is set up along the trajectory, heads down, so to speak, with relation to the horizon. And then the whole command service module is yawed.
We show 18 minutes, 20 seconds now from time of entry in the Earth's atmosphere. The Apollo 16 spacecraft maneuvering in a yaw maneuver for a service module separation. We'll stand by, continue to monitor.
Well, you're right on it there.
Yeah, they yaw at about 45 degrees to get rid of the service module. That's to make sure that the trajectory of the service module doesn't interfere with the trajectory of the command module on the entry itself.
Makes it go off to the side.
Right, it makes it go off to the side. Once the service module is jettisoned, then, of course, they just go to the entry attitude with the command module itself. And it's delayed until about 15 minutes before entry because There aren't too many consumables on board once you get rid of the service module with the oxygen and the hydraulics and the water glycol and the electrical power. Once you get rid of the service module, right. Then the basic power is battery supply and oxygen supply is just high-pressure oxygen within the command module itself.
And there's no doubt at this point that the spacecraft is targeted at that little pinhole in the sky down over the Cook Islands.
Yeah, that's right. They're very sure where the spacecraft is at this point.
Let's go to Mission Control.
Mission Control reports an entry angle of minus 6.56, very close to the onboard computation.
We're getting both calculations from the trackers on Earth and from on board the spacecraft, where the astronauts
are busy. Aboard the spacecraft are armed in preparation for separating the service module.
And those numbers look pretty good, too, Rhett. They're normally targeted for about 6.5, and it looks like they're very close to exactly on.
Mm-hmm. This means a down attitude of about 6.5 degrees down from horizontal, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're a minute and a half to CSSM set.
That was John Young saying we're a minute and a half from CSSM.
John Young reporting a minute and a half away from service module separation.
Yes, that's right, too, because the countdown clock shows about 16 minutes and 15 seconds until entry interface, and the service module is jettisoned at 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little over a minute now until the separation. That's a very, very fast time, particularly after the service module jettison. It's a very busy time. And you sort of have the feeling like, you've kind of clipped your wings when you get rid of the service module, and there's only one thing you can do then, and that's to land.
Yeah, and that's the feeling, huh?
Yeah, sort of. You're sitting up there in a very, very small home at that point when you lose the service module, when you jettison the service module. Of course, you lost
Apollo Control,
your
Houston, standing by now for service module separation.
We're seeing a television picture coming from the vicinity of the pickup down there. There's a portable satellite relay station on the aircraft carrier Ticonderoga. We see aircraft and sailors on deck there waiting. And also there's a plane flying around near the touchdown point, and there's another portable television camera on board that. And all of this will be in view for millions and millions of people around the world to see and to share by remote control, by electronics. Thanks to those satellites up there.
Yes, sir.
Separation, Houston.
There it was, Roger. Separation. Now they got to come home.
That was the lunar module pilot, Charlie Duke, reporting separation.
Everything looks good from down here, 16.
That's Hank Hartsfield, the capsule
communicator. Apollo Control, Houston. The service module has separated on time. Casper now travels on entry systems only. Maneuvering now to a proper entry attitude.
We'll try to give you a rundown when that entry begins 14 minutes from now. We'll try to, when we lose signal, we'll try to give you a countdown on how they're progressing through the atmosphere. When the blackout begins, when you first begin to feel the loads of gravity, 0.05G as it's called, when the blackout ends, drogue chute deployment, main chute deployment, we'll try to carry you through that in elapsed time. They'll be out of touch with Earth with the control during the time of blackout, but there's unusually good tracking on this one this time, I understand. Up till 9 minutes before entry interface, there's good solid data apparently, and then the Araya aircraft are standing by right in the area also. This is probably even better than was on your flight, Al.
Well, that could be, Rhett, and looking at the chart here, I guess one possible explanation would be that they've retargeted away from Hawaii. There's a very good tracking station at Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be going right over there, so they're probably getting good tracking data out of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't know, that's a supposition on my part. I haven't had a chance to check the actual tracking schedules, but that seems...
The place, the point of entry, will be moving in a much more northerly direction than we've had on any of the previous Apollo flights. Most of your entries have come from the southwest toward the northeast. Well, this one is going to come very nearly in a northerly direction, just about 2 or 3, 4 degrees east of north.
Okay, Houston, we have the...
That's John Young.
We have the bit 3 set in 2146.
Roger, and you're looking good.
You understand what he was talking about there? He's talking about some bits in the computer.
It's Apollo Control, yeah. Houston. The crew of Apollo 16 just loading the target latitude and longitude aboard their onboard computer.
Target latitude and longitude. It's going to be about 43 minutes south and 156 degrees, 11 minutes west. That's pretty close. Now they'll enter the atmosphere. Entry interface begins down over the Cook Islands.
Guidance and control reports the maneuver back to proper attitude for entry is progressing as programmed.
Everything progressing as programmed, says Mission Control. The entry will begin over the Cook Islands, moving north. It will go up across the Pacific there between the Phoenix and Marquesas, between Samoa and the Society Islands. And splashdown is just south of the Christmas Islands.
Young, Duke, Mattingly now have their computer into the program, which provides their prescribed entry into the Earth's atmosphere. The entry equations are in and will hold...
Good.
And will hold Casper to a correct attitude.
Roger, P63.
There was another
with
word.
This program displayed, we now show... The spacecraft at a traveling at a velocity of 30,912 feet per second, and range to go to target 4,265 nautical miles.
It's going to pick up very fast here. Just during the last few minutes, they'll get up to 3,600 feet per second. Something
36,000.
36,000. Beg your pardon. They're going now 30,000 feet per second, and let me translate that into kilometers for our friends in other parts of the world who would be so watching. Right now, they would be going about 33,900 kilometers per hour. This will increase to 40,000 kilometers per hour by the time of entry interface, just in the next 10 minutes. That's really moving on.
Yes, sir, it sure is.
Can you see it outside when you look out there?
No, you're in the darkness.
10 minutes and 30 seconds until time of entry in the Earth's atmosphere. Apollo 16 now traveling at a velocity of 31,405 feet per second. Range to go to target 4,085 nautical miles.
That's increased to 34,400 kilometers per hour. That fast, that quickly, just in the time that we heard those reports.
That's right. There still aren't any forces acting on the spacecraft except the gravitational field of the Earth, so that the accelerations aren't
Mark,
felt on
Mark, minus 10 minutes until time that Casper encounters the Earth's atmosphere for the first time in 11 days. We show velocity now reading 31,690 feet per second. Range to go to splash point 3,976 nautical miles.
I'm turning pages very fast to get these conversions almost instantly. Now 34,760 kilometers per hour, or beyond that even, just as we're talking. Yes, you don't get a chance to look out and look at the Earth coming at you at that point, right, Al?
No, you don't. Things are happening pretty fast. As a matter of fact, you're really oriented going backwards so that you would mm-hmm. see the horizon behind you and not ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
The acceleration or the velocity increases very rapidly just at the last because... Of course, the closer
Apollo
you get to
Control,
Earth, the faster
Houston, Flight Director Phil Chaffer checks again with his team here in Mission Control as to our status. All systems are looking very good at this time. We're 9 minutes away now from time of entry in the Earth's atmosphere. Velocity for Apollo 16 now 32,195 feet per second. Range to go to target 3,784 nautical miles.
That's 35,300 kilometers an hour at that last report.
Apollo Control, Houston, the recovery staff support room here in Mission Control reports all recovery aircraft are on station.
Sounds like the Araya aircraft haven't run. It's the communication
sounds
quality
like
change, yeah.
They're all getting together out there now.
Apollo 16, Houston, we're reading you.
There's a call from Hank Hartsfield.
Looks like the uplink's a little weak, Hank. We're down
Roger, we're having the same thing.
Charlie Duke saying the uplink was a little weak, meaning the signal coming up a little weak, getting scratchiness. We're hearing that here also. 7 minutes, 50 seconds now until
Roger,
entry 60, begins.
We're coming through Orion now.
Through one of the range instrumentation aircraft.
Okay, you said it pretty good, yeah.
This is a high-flying airplane picking up the signals from the spacecraft just outside the atmosphere as it's about to barrel in. During the blackout period, that's caused by a great plasma.
Apollo Control, Houston, 7 minutes, 30 seconds now from time of entry. Flight Director Phil Schaffer again checking with his control team as to status. His console coming up all greens. We've had a loss of signal as far as telemetry data is concerned following this pass over to the Apollo Ranging and Instrumentation aircraft.
Houston, we do not have telemetry.
That's normal with the Orion, isn't it, Al?
I think at times it is. It's
Roger.
It's certainly a more difficult link than through one of the tracking stations. You know, we've used the Orion more and more as the program goes on because we've been able to work some of those problems out, and it's proved quite successful. For instance, during translunar insertion. We've been using more of the Araya aircraft.
Mm-hmm. This splashdown point is south of Hawaii, some 2,400 kilometers south of Honolulu. It's about 280 to 300 kilometers south of the Christmas Islands. The seas are only about 1 meter seas and gentle winds about 10 knots from the east. That sound good to you? If you're
that
about
really
to
sounds
in?
Great.
Looks great too, doesn't it?
Now until time of entry into the Earth's atmosphere.
Looking at the picture, though, the weather looks great out there.
We're getting a very good televised picture from the deck of the aircraft carrier Ticonderoga. This is a full-size World War II aircraft carrier being deployed for use in this recovery. On some of the earlier missions, I think yours was a helicopter carrier for Apollo 15.
Yes, the Okinawa was. Yeah.
Total time of entry. Network reports in mission control that neither tracking station at this time can lock on to Araya telemetry data.
One of those stationary communication satellites.
However, we are receiving voice transmissions through the Araya aircraft.
One of those stationary communication satellites. High in the sky is relaying this TV picture back to mission control and then on to the rest of the world and maybe where you may be listening.
5 minutes now until time of entry interface.
5 minutes until entry interface. That means the hitting the outer residue of the Earth's atmosphere, some 100,000 meters high. Just saying to Al, think metric if you can. We're used to using the English system very often. It takes quite a bit of discipline for us listening to these things in nautical miles, statute miles, to convert to the to meters and kilometers for most of you around
Houston,
the world.
Apollo Control, Houston, minus 4 minutes 23 seconds. We're now receiving Araya telemetry data through Hawaii.
4 minutes until entry begins.
Apollo 16 now traveling at a velocity of 34,672 feet per second. Range to go to splay.
And you're looking good.
Roger. Range to go to splash 2,540 nautical miles.
That's 36,900 kilometers an hour. Boy.
They only have a couple, about 3,000 kilometers per hour to go yet before they hit entry interface.
Mm-hmm.
It builds up very rapidly at the end. The last 5 minutes are very quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. We use a combination of metric system and English system. All of our work on the lunar surface is done in metric system.
So Houston, minus 3 minutes, 30 seconds now until time of entering the Earth's atmosphere. Apollo 16 now traveling at a speed of 35,043 feet per second. Range to go to splash 2,327 nautical miles.
I've got to flip two pages to find that. It's picking up so fast. 38,448 kilometers per hour is the readoff there. Wow, is that fast.
That's moving very, very quickly.
I would love to be able to see.
3 minutes now until time of entry into the atmosphere. Velocity now reading 260 feet per second. Range to go 2,170 nautical miles.
Gee, wouldn't it be great to be able to see at that point if you weren't so busy getting ready?
That's right. You might even, being that close to the Earth, get some idea of that velocity by looking out the window. But in the absence of anything to look at, of course, you could be going 100,000 kilometers per hour and you can't tell the difference.
30 seconds. Velocity now 35,450 feet per second. Range to go to splash, 2,020 nautical miles.
Two minutes to go until entry interface. This is the Voice of America bringing you live coverage from Mission Control in Houston of the return to Earth of Apollo 16. John Young, Charlie Duke, and Ken Mattingly.
Now till time of entry.
2 minutes until entry begins.
16 now traveling at 35,651 feet per second. Range to go to splash 1,845 nautical miles.
With us describing and sharing this event is the man who did it last time with Apollo 15, Al Worden, the command module pilot who circled in lunar orbit just as Ken Mattingly has done and performed some outstanding lunar orbital
Apollo
photography.
Apollo 16 now traveling at a velocity of 35,823 feet per second, range to go to splash 1,678 nautical miles.
That's 39,300 kilometers an hour, almost up to that entry speed of 40,000.
Still looking good.
Still looking good, says Hank Hartsfield.
Mark, minus 1 minute. Velocity now 35,967 feet per second. Range to go 1,518 nautical miles.
What was that, Al? Did you catch that?
95,960.
That would be about 39,400 kilometers per hour. They're coming into the atmosphere in less than a minute from now, half a minute from now, over the Cook Islands.
36,094 feet per second, range to go 1,357 nautical miles.
This is at 19 degrees 46 minutes south and 162 degrees 7 minutes west. That's the entry point.
They'll begin to pick up some deceleration. They'll begin
right,
to feel
10 seconds. The velocity at 36,173 feet per second. Range to go 70 nautical miles.
It's only about 5 seconds till you begin to feel gravity, isn't it?
Well, it's a little bit longer now. I'd say it was about sort of about 15 to 20 seconds.
Okay.
And they hit the 0.05G altitude at about 28 seconds.
Our telemetry data indicating Apollo 16 now passing through the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah, they should be getting 0.05G right now.
Okay, coming
and all
in.
That is a signal to the computer that says we're in the atmosphere, and the computer starts to do its guidance in.
Mm-hmm. Blackout begins there very quickly, as a matter of fact. Plus 16 seconds.
They must they're in blackout now then.
Mm-hmm.
The plasma sheath, of course, actually surrounds the spacecraft before you begin to pick up any physical cues that there
before
is some deceleration.
Mm-hmm. So we won't hear
Apollo,
anything from them.
Control Houston, we're at 1 minute, 5 seconds now since time of entry into the Earth's atmosphere.
Things will be very quiet.
1 minute, 10 seconds now. Apollo 16 going through its maximum heat load. This should be 4,000 to 4,500 degrees Fahrenheit, the maximum temperature on the surface of the heat shield.
I believe I heard that...
Mark, 1 minute, 25 seconds. Apollo 16 now encountering max G, which should be approximately 7 Gs.
Yeah, I was going to say, just report, about 7 times the force of gravity. Is that what you experienced on 15?
Seconds since entry. We show the period of ending blackout a little less than 2 minutes away now.
Okay.
We got up to about 6.7, I think. 6.6, 6.7.
How does that really feel right at this moment?
Well, at first... It's a tremendous pull on the body at first. Of course, you've been floating for 12 days, and
uh-huh.
then suddenly you're getting these forces build up on the body. And I know it's a bad pun, but it's sort of like having an elephant stand on your chest. I've heard it described that way before. At first, and of course, that goes away as soon as the first maneuver is completed.
The Earth's atmosphere, the last vector computed by the flight dynamics officer, indicated an entry angle of minus 6.55, almost exactly as predicted.
About one more minute, about 45 seconds from now until we should be getting the end of blackout. All still quiet, and they're well past that maximum force of gravity.
They're well past the maximum G-loading at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The second phase of the entry is what we call a constant G-phase. The computer maneuvers the spacecraft.
Apollo Control Houston, the ship Ticonderoga reports a radar contact.
Means it's not too far off.
Not too far off. The second phase, the computer holds the spacecraft at about a constant 4 G's while it decelerates.
We're 3 minutes 30 seconds now from time of entry. We should be passing out of the period of communications blackout. We'll stand by.
Let's listen for a call. Houston may broadcast, make a call in the blind, as it's called, or we may hear a call from young...
16, Houston.
There it is.
Roger, loud.
Roger, loud and clear.
Roger, how's it going?
The ship reports the radar contact at 233 miles off on the ship.
Wow, 233 from the ship at the end of blackout.
Dated number now, 196 nautical miles.
16 Houston, we're getting a little data now and everything looks good.
Data shows the range to be 196 nautical miles coming in. It's about another 3 minutes. They're barreling, they're into the atmosphere now and can communicate because this this plasma sheath of material which burned away from the spacecraft and which prevented radio signals from getting
Houston,
out.
We're now receiving telemetry data through Araya here in Mission Control, and it looks good.
This Araya aircraft picking up data on the condition of the spacecraft, and we heard a radio call.
We're 5 minutes now from time of entry in the Earth's atmosphere.
That last call said 196 nautical miles from the Ticonderoga. It'll be about another 2 minutes and a half before the drogue chutes are to deploy. They're dropping down through the into the atmosphere and down through it now. That's what I was really trying to get to. It's a long time to drogue deploy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
just free fall. Drogues, now.
That's all free fall, and of course you're still decelerating. The trajectory gets steeper and steeper as the spacecraft slows down, and till you get to
about 5 minutes 35 seconds since entry into the Earth's atmosphere. Still receiving good telemetry data.
We're listening to the onboard correspondents down there on the Ticonderoga. They may call for a sighting, and we'll be ready to switch in a hurry to the Ticonderoga when there is a sighting from there on the carrier. They have radar contact, so they know where to look. Drogue chute deployment should be about another minute and a half away.
Yeah,
at that point,
they should be about 24,000 feet. They should be about 8,000 meters
mm-hmm.
when they get drogue deploy. And the drogues will decelerate the spacecraft to about 200 feet per second. Would that be 70, 80 meters per second, something like that. And then the mains will come out at about 3,000 meters.
Mm-hmm. About a minute from now, should have drogue deployment.
Those drogues are a very comfortable sight, too, by the way.
Can you feel much of a pop in the back of your pants when that happens?
No, you don't feel much of an abrupt stopping when the drogues come out.
7 minutes now since time of entry into the Earth's atmosphere.
But they do help stabilize the spacecraft, and you, from that point on, you're like an arrow.
Receiving
and the drogues are like feathers.
Telemetry data now from the spacecraft onboard computer.
We don't have a hack on the range there, but it's we're waiting to see if we get that from the telemetry data. Certainly a lot closer than 100 nautical miles away now, some 150 kilometers. Here we go. Should have drogue deployment in about another 6 seconds from now. We may hear a confirmation of that from one of the guys on board the spacecraft, from young Mattingly or Duke, who normally calls that. Is that a routine?
The CMP usually calls that because he's the fellow sitting in the left seat looking out the window for the drogues.
That was your job on 15, right. And listen right. to
Lee Mattingly's. 8 minutes, ECOM reports the apex and drogue chutes are out.
I think we have a sighting, yes.
There it is.
We now have the first visual of the spacecraft as the...
Okay, here's Les Higby in Washington.
As the drogue chutes are...
This is the Voice of America bringing you live coverage of the return to Earth of the Apollo 16 astronauts. Let's go now to the USS Ticonderoga, which has sighted the chutes.
We were able to see the command module as the little drogue chute deployed. It's now coming down, and the main chutes are just now beginning to fill. We could see the command module on the drogue chutes, a spectacular sight as it came across the sky horizontally, then deployed the pilot chutes, and now all three of the main chutes. Directly to our front, and the excitement aboard this ship is something. All three of the chutes appear to be functioning normally. Bill Lindsay aboard the recovery ship Ticonderoga.
Stand by, pull. Lindsay.
This is the Voice of America bringing you live coverage of the return to Earth of the Apollo 16 astronauts. The weather conditions in the recovery area are near ideal. The skies are clear and blue. There are no clouds, and the chutes are in sight of the ship at the present time. The winds are 10 to 18 knots from the east-southeast. There are 1 to 3 foot waves. Temperature of the air and water, 83 degrees. No problem for the Navy swimmers when they pick up the astronauts. Now we continue our coverage direct from the USS Ticonderoga.
One of the things they're doing now is unlocking the struts with a couch, which will act as shock absorbers to help reduce the impact of the landing.
Now let's go back to Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston.
Okay, Al Worden and I are watching. Mission Control has contact with the spacecraft. Here's Ike Pappas on board the carrier also.
Port side.
Let's listen.
And we are steaming over there. And we should have them alongside very shortly on this Apollo 16 recovery. They'll get that flotation collar working. That wraps around the command module, stabilizes it for recovery of the astronauts. The swimmers also attach a raft to the command module, the one the astronauts use for pickup by the recovery helo.
It's floating down toward the surface.
The recovery helicopter will hover near the inflated raft, dangling the recovery net to the swimmers. Each astronaut, as in the past, will be... lifted in the net to the chopper, and when all three men are aboard, the recovery chopper returns to the carrier. Another helicopter out there is called a swim helicopter. This also contains three swimmers and acts as a backup for recovery. A third helo will go about helping to recover the parachutes, and this is considered a specially important job on this mission. You'll remember on Apollo 15 when they had trouble with one of the chutes. It snarled, and the Apollo 15 crew came down safely with that chute out of commission. One theory is that when they discharged excess fuel from the command module, it may have damaged the chute or some of its lines. With that in mind, the command module today will not discharge that excess fuel. Indeed, it will remain aboard the entire splashdown period and will remain on board the module throughout the entire recovery period. They want it that way for testing, in an attempt to determine exactly what went wrong on Apollo 15. We
should
be having
picture.
Splash in about 2 minutes. While all this is going on, of course, the fourth chopper, the photo helicopter with our live camera and still in motion picture photographers, is circling about. And some distance away is a fixed-wing aircraft the Navy calls a Willie Fudd. This operates as a communications relay link between the carrier and the Recovery Control Center in Hawaii. It also monitors the module itself.
We're getting a beautiful picture of this from the carrier Ticonderoga, and you heard Ike Pappas there on the carrier describing it. It's about to touch down. We've never been able to get a TV picture of that drogue deployment before, and now we not only saw the drogues deploy, we saw the main chutes come out, and now it's about to splash into the water. Blip, there it went, and a beautiful descent and touchdown. Al Worden, I hate to say it, but it even tops the beauty of the picture of your Apollo 15 descent and touchdown.
Don't well, you? Red, I've never seen a recovery, an entry that had an early picture. I've never seen one with the drogue chutes deployed before. I think the sky conditions were absolutely superb today, and of course the accuracy of the landing is such that they were able to get it on drogue chutes, and I think it's a fantastic sight. It's kind of nice to see all three chutes too.
Yeah, we'll go back and talk about that other chute.
I know those guys in there were happy to see three chutes.
And indeed, they were not scheduled to vent the fuel, but I think they did at the last minute. I thought I saw some orange-looking fluid coming out of there. A cloud, at least.
It might have been something that was venting, but of course the procedures have changed now so that they don't vent the fuel.
Mm-hmm. The spacecraft is on the surface. Let's see if we're...
Apollo 16 in a stable 2 condition at the present time.
That from
mission
control.
With the apex end of the spacecraft underwater.
Uh-oh. It tipped over. It's upside down, but when these two big balloons are deployed, are blown up, the astronauts inside will actuate them. It'll pop it right back over.
That's right.
But you guys trained to
that's,
come
that's
out
one of the things
down
we trained
below
for.
If you had to.
Yeah, as a last resort, the forward hatch is removable, and
there they come. There
we
come.
Could go out underwater.
We're getting some descriptions from one of the swim helicopters. Let's see if we can hear it. You know, when those things don't look too doggone stable to me, upside down, the way they're bobbing there. It's a great spacecraft, but a lousy boat. I've heard more than one of you guys
well,
say.
I think the Navy people that are in the program will vouch for that better than I can.
ELS helicopter is making its approach to the main chute, standing by to deploy from it.
The swim helicopter is making its approach to the spacecraft, standing by to deploy swimmers. That was the word you just heard there. Spacecraft still floating upside down. Those bags haven't blown up yet. Any reason for a delay?
No, there's a very small compressor on board that fills up the balloons, and it just takes a few minutes for them to fill with air enough so that they... It's not a compressed air charge or anything. It's an actual compressor on board that blows the balloons up. So it does take some time to blow them up.
That's the reason for
the first swimmer now in the water to put the sea anchor onto the command module.
Now they're going to try to capture the parachute lines, as I understand it. This time, you heard plans about that, haven't you?
They're going to. Yeah, they definitely want to recover the parachutes this time.
They tried to get one of yours to find out why one of them. Didn't deploy, but they weren't. They sunk away before they could get to them. This way.
Yes, that's right.
Swimmers, we could see them dropping into the water. Helicopter floating right overhead, just about 10 meters up.
The swimmer is from the Earth Landing System helicopter. Are now all in the water. They will... endeavor to retrieve the parachutes as well as the apex cover.
Oh, boy. The astronauts are okay inside, so they're going to try to get the apex cover off of that chute container and at least get some lines onto the chute so they don't sink to the bottom before they can be secured to float.
One of the parachutes reported submerged, the other two on the surface.
Well, there's two out of three so far, hopefully.
The upright bags are completely inflated at this time. The command module is in a 90-degree position.
90-degree position.
The recovery helo is in position. Standing by. Roger.
The bags are inflated on the command module. Now, one of them is...
One of them is inflated.
The command module is stable one.
Okay, there he goes. See, there he's going up now.
He just popped over the other direction on the flat side.
They roll so far over, and then, of course, the basic stability of the command module takes it the rest of the way, and they just pop up in the stable one.
With us describing this is Al Worden, command module pilot on Apollo 15. And Al certainly should know he was there last July and August during the Apollo 15.
Yeah, that's right. I know just how those guys feel right now. The happiest sight in the world is the recovery paramedic who comes to the window and looks in and gives us a little wave.
You know you're home, don't you?
You know you're home, man.
We've got you. The recovery helo or helicopter is making its approach to the command module.
Okay, recovery, this is Apollo 16. We finally got this thing all set up, and looking forward to seeing
you. There's one of the frogmen in the water now.
One of the frogmen, yeah, one of the swimmers in the water now. I couldn't quite. Did you catch that last transmission?
From the chute tail around the apex cover, you might watch them. I guess you know that.
There's actually some conversation from one swimmer to
preparing
another.
Preparing to attach the sea anchor. A report from the crew of Apollo 16 that says they're doing fine.
This is relatively close, about 10 yards. The swimmers are positioning it away from the command module. Two of the uprighting bags are completely inflated. The third is partially inflated.
The uprighting bags.
Sea anchor about 8 feet.
Are there three of
them? There are three of them.
Two fully inflated, one partially inflated.
A cloth designed to drag and slow down the spacecraft in water.
We heard one of the helicopters reporting a moment ago that the apex cover seemed to be entwined in one of the lines to the parachute, and I think he was telling one of the swimmers to watch out for that. Don't get in trouble there. Get tangled up. Mm-hmm. Oh,
looks like it's fairly close to the spacecraft there, if that is the apex cover.
Command module riding very nicely. Attaching the sea anchor to the command module to keep it from drifting with the wind. Put some drag on it.
We heard John Young aboard Casper reporting the condition of the crew as outstanding.
Now, if they just don't get seasick riding there, and gently in these ways.
We were so happy to be back after our flight that there was no way we would get seasick.
The first swimmer in the water now in the process of attaching the sea anchor. This made of cloth designed to drag in the water and slow down the spacecraft.
There's another swimmer dropping into the sea, or either a raft. I see it popped open already. A big orange blob there, just a few meters away. Sort of looks scorched, doesn't it, Al? The spacecraft.
Yeah, it looks a little different color than when it left, that's for sure. it gets pretty warm on entry, even though the temperature inside stays pretty constant. I think the temperature in our spacecraft only went up 1 degree during entry.
Now dropped into the water. These will be moved up next to the spacecraft.
These life rafts. They inflated when they hit the water. They're orange in color, bright orange. They really stand out on the deep blue of the ocean. Beautiful picture, televised picture, coming back through the aircraft carrier Ticonderoga.
The sea anchor now attached and being inspected now by the first swimmer. The next two swimmers will take a flotation collar with them. And there are two attachments in the front part of the spacecraft, and it unfolds like a caterpillar. While one swimmer steadies this flotation collar, the other swimmer takes it around, wraps it around the spacecraft.
Caterpillar unfolds like a big worm, he says. This is a long routine, isn't it, Al? It takes a long time to do the procedures and get everything done.
The first swimmer in the water now cutting away the parachute shroud lines freeing the spacecraft from the parachute.
It seems like a long time when you're watching it on television, but when you're in the spacecraft, it actually goes very quickly. And I think there's a great deal of work to do right along about now.
What are the guys inside doing? Are they normally at this point? Are they just waiting, or is there a procedure for them to be following while they're being rescued?
There is a procedure, although it's not very long or complicated. There are some switches that have to be set, some power that has to be turned off, some final cleanup things that have to be done inside.
The astronauts are safe in the Pacific Ocean. John Young, Ken Mattingly, and Charlie Duke safe inside their spacecraft, floating gently on the waves, and their helicopter right overhead. There went another swimmer with a big bag of equipment. Swimmers are attaching the flotation collar around the spacecraft to make it even more stable. That'll take a little more of that sway and that rocking out of
that's
it.
That's right.
The flotation collar have been dropped now into the water adjacent to the spacecraft.
As you heard Mission Control say there, this flotation collar is packed up, rolled up like a caterpillar rolled up there in your garden. It'll be unwound. Yeah. They're talking about the flotation collar package, the swimmers with the rescue helicopter. They call this an ELS now, Earth Landing System helicopter. That's
Earth
a new
Landing
term
System
to me.
Helicopter. That's a
new
phrase.
There are nine swimmers in the water, three... who will be working with the crew of Apollo 16 as they leave the spacecraft, the other six swimmers, in an endeavor now to recover the parachutes.
Oh, boy. I think that's quite an entourage, which you didn't have for 15.
I think they've added a number of swimmers to make sure they recover the parachutes. And, we didn't have nearly that many swimmers on our recovery.
The Apollo people want to examine those things very badly.
Right, right.
Now, what we're hearing there are the flyers in the helicopter, one of the rescue people talking back to the carrier, describing in minute detail to their command center there the progress of this procedure they're carrying out. You're listening to the Voice of America's live coverage of the return to Earth of Apollo 16. Astronauts John Young, Ken Mattingly, and Charlie Duke have splashed safely into the Pacific Ocean near the Christmas Island, just south of Hawaii, some 2,400 kilometers. Let's listen to Mission Control. That report that the flotation collar is being attached. We can see swimmers on our television picture. Three quarters of the way around the command module. And as Al Worden and I were just discussing, it does seems to take a good while.
The flotation collar now halfway around the command module. It's made of a rubberized cloth-like material.
Yeah, another point about the amount of time that it takes. This is the end of a very long flight, and it would be a terrible tragedy if we should have anything go wrong at this point. So they do take... It's not that they take their time, but they're very careful... with everything that they do, and that seems to take a little bit longer. It seems like it takes a little bit longer. Those people are just absolutely outstanding, though, the recovery people.
In
superb
fact,
people.
During the whole mission, while Young, Mattingly, and Duke have been on the trip to the moon and back, these fellows have been out there practicing this sort of thing.
That's right.
Collar, the three swimmers will climb up on the collar and attach restraining straps on top of the spacecraft where the uprighting bags are located.
Those uprighting bags were certainly used today. We haven't had many of these spacecraft to come in that stable two or upside down position.
I'm just trying to think now which ones have come in stable two.
Yours was stable one.
We were stable one, yes.
I remember that beautiful big splash when Apollo 15 touched down, and gee, what a beautiful, clear picture it was again. The last two missions, your Apollo 15, Al Worden, and this one have been in magnificent weather, close to the carrier, and in good television viewing for us here. Let's listen.
It's making the job of installing the flotation collar go a little slower.
There is a good breeze, I think some 10 knots from the east. The sea anchor supposedly is helping to stabilize the spacecraft.
You know, one of the points that surprised us after our splashdown was that in talking to the recovery swimmers, they informed us that it's more difficult to put the collar on in calm sea than it is when the sea's a little rough. Because when the sea's a little rough, then
inflated.
You can move it around a little easier, using the wave motion to help them move the collar around.
Yeah.
And that actually slowed them up a little bit on our flight. It looks like the conditions today are quite ideal.
Flotation collar is inflated. There was the word from SWIM.
See, that was pretty fast. That was only 15 minutes after landing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very quick.
Mm-hmm. Recovery Hilo making its approach.
The ship reported to be just about a mile away from the floating command module.